You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, May 23rd, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stock futures rise following the longest losing streak for the S&P 500 in decades.
President Biden said the U.S. would intervene to defend Taiwan from China.
More baby formula arrives in the U.S.
And Broadcom is in talks to buy a top cloud computing company.
New York City police continue to search for the gunman in a deadly random subway shooting. Plus, Ukraine says up to 100 of their soldiers die every day. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Scott Satterberg. The Yankees swept in a doubleheader. The Mets pick up a win, and the Rangers defend home ice. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 19 points, Dow futures up 130, NASDAQ futures up 48. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 0.8 seconds, yield 2.81%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.60%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% at $110.87. 7 cents a barrel. John.
Karen, the rise in futures comes after the S&P 500 touched bear market territory on Friday and closed lower for a seventh straight week. According to Bespoke Investment Group, it's just the S&P's fourth streak of seven or more weekly losses in the post-World War II era. Alan Zafran is founding partner and co-CEO at IEQ Capital.
Sentiment is terrible right now. So we're ready for a bear market rally, but it's still probably a bear market rally until such time as there's evidence the economy is very close to a bottom.
Alan Zafran of IEQ Capital is not alone in thinking stocks will head lower. According to the latest Bloomberg MLive Pulse poll, participants see the S&P 500 falling another 10%.
Well, many traders see the U.S. economy headed for recession, John. The president of the United States is not so sure. He answered the question at a press conference in Tokyo overnight.
In your view, is a recession in the United States inevitable?
No.
Why not?
Our GDP is going to grow faster than China's for the first time in 40 years. Now, does that mean we don't have problems? We do. We have problems that the rest of the world has, but less consequential than the rest of the world has them because of our internal growth and strength.
At the same press briefing in Tokyo, President Biden made headlines when asked if the U.S. would defend Taiwan from a China attack.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
President Biden also announced that a dozen Indo-Pacific countries will join the U.S. in a sweeping economic initiative designed to counter China's influence in the region.
And earlier in his trip, during a stop in South Korea on Sunday, the president also addressed the growing concern over monkeypox cases around the world.
It is a concern in the sense that if it were to spread, it's consequential. That's all they told me.
President Biden says he's speaking to advisors about monkeypox. The president's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, says the U.S. has a relevant vaccine ready to be deployed to treat the disease if needed.
While the U.S. monitors the monkeypox situation, John, it is getting some relief this morning on the battle against the baby formula shortage. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. A plane load of more than 70,000 pounds of baby formula arrived in the U.S. on Sunday. It's called Operation Fly Formula, an emergency program to alleviate a national shortage that's left some parents scrambling to feed their children. President Biden's top economic advisor says more formula will start arriving in stores as early as this week. And last week, the president invoked emergency powers under the Defense Protection Act to spur domestic manufacturing of baby formula. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. After a two-year hiatus because of the pandemic, the annual World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland is back, but without the hype of years past. And our Tom Keene covering the event for both Bloomberg Radio and television.
This will be a different Davos. There's no question about it. I think the major thing is the change of calendar, not January, but May, and much more. It will be compressed pretty much from 4 days down to 3 days. Travel schedules seem to be so tight for so many people attending. The war is absolutely front and center. There's no question about that. There will be some other themes, some ideas of risks as well. But the overarching theme besides the war, as my colleague Paul Sweeney mentioned, is the idea here of what do we do about inflation? And that will transcend the dialogue all the way through this 3 days in Davos.
Thanks, Tom. Bloomberg's Tom Keene reporting from Davos, beginning this morning along with Lisa Bramowitz on Bloomberg Surveillance. Stay with us for that coming up at 7 a.m. Wall Street time.
And Christine Lagarde is one official who will be in Davos this week, John. But ahead of her appearance, the European Central Bank president is making some critical comments about cryptocurrencies. And we get more from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels.
She gave an interview to a Dutch television. She said that this thing is trash. It carries no value. And it's an investment vehicle for some to get very rich, but for other very naive people to lose potentially a lot of money. But of course, you know, this is a central banker. Bitcoin, crypto, everything around that we know essentially tries to defy central bankers. So, of course, what's a central banker, what's the head of the ECB going to say? That it's trash and she doesn't believe in it.
And Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo says so far Lagarde's comments are not impacting cryptocurrencies. Checking Bitcoin right now, it is up 1.3% at $30,300.
And we're seeing shares of VMware up 14% in early trading. The cloud computing company in talks to be bought by Broadcom. Details from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
VMware, based in Palo Alto, makes virtualization software. It allows a small number of servers to do more by enabling each to handle more than one program. Broadcom is a Singapore-based giant in the semiconductor industry. A deal would help it diversify beyond computer chips. VMware has a market cap of around $40 billion. So far this year, its shares are down 20%. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Doug. Right now, Dow futures up 114 points. S&P futures up 17. The NASDAQ futures up 47. This is Daybreak. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. An unidentified gunman has shot and killed another passenger on a moving New York City subway train. Police officials say it appears to have been an unprovoked attack, and the victim, a 48-year-old man, died in a hospital. NYPD Chief of Department Kenneth Corey.
At this time, there are no arrests. The suspect is described as a dark-skinned male who is heavy-set with a beard.
Police say the shooting took place yesterday on a Q train traveling over the Manhattan Bridge at around 11:40 a.m. That's the time of day when subway cars are often filled with families, tourists, and people headed to brunch. Recent subway crime has set New Yorkers on edge. Last month, a man opened fire inside a Brooklyn subway train, scattering random shots that wounded 10 people. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida told President Joe Biden that Russia's aggression cannot be tolerated. The two leaders met in Tokyo to discuss regional security and economic cooperation. Speaking through a translator, Prime Minister Kishida.
Russia's aggression against Ukraine undermines the foundation of global order, and we can in no way allow whatsoever such attempts to change the status quo by force, wherever it may be in the world.
Prime Minister Kishida's comments come as a United Nations agency said the war in Ukraine has displaced more than 100 million people from their homes. Ukraine's president says up to 100 of its soldiers die every day in battle. Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming was one of five individuals last night to receive the 2022 John F. Kennedy Profile and Courage Award. In her live-streamed acceptance speech, Cheney, who serves on the special committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot, spoke about the continuous threat to democracy.
We face a threat we have never faced before, a former president attempting to unravel our constitutional republic.
The award was also handed to Ukrainian President Zelensky and three U.S. officials defending the integrity of the 2020 presidential election. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 5:10 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, John. Igor Shesterkin made 43 saves. Mika Zibanejad had a goal and an assist as the Rangers beat the Hurricanes 3-1 at the Garden yesterday. Chris Kreider and Tyler Mott also scored as the Blue Shirts defend home ice. Now trail 2-1. Here's head coach Gerard Gallant.
Scored a power play goal. That's how you win hockey games, a tight game. So it was a battle, tight battle again tonight. They obviously, Igor was outstanding for us, and that was the key.
It was just the second win for the Blue Shirts over Carolina in their last 10 meetings. Game 4 at the Garden tomorrow night. Baseball, the Yankees dropped both games of a doubleheader to the White Sox, 3-1 in Game 1 and a 5-0 shutout loss in Game 2. The Mets, meanwhile, blanked the Rockies 2-0. Taiwan Walker threw 7 scoreless innings. NBA playoffs, the Warriors take a commanding 3-0 series lead over the Mavericks with a 109-100 win. Golf, what an exciting finish at the PGA Championship yesterday.
And Justin Thomas is walking around for the quick tap, and he's got it. A two-time major winner of the PGA Championship, Justin Thomas, is your 104th PGA Champion here at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
The call is heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. Justin Thomas winning his second Wanamaker Trophy, outlasting Will Zalatoris in a three-hole playoff. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Scott. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have Dow futures right now up 127 points. S&P futures up 20 points. That's about 0.5%. And the Nasdaq futures right now 58 points higher. As far as treasuries, the benchmark 10-year yield is 2.81 right now. And the VIX, Wall Street's fear gauge, the volatility index slightly elevated this morning, right now at 29.60. As you look at the euro, 106.58. That is up slightly against the dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, have stocks hit the bottom? Where do we go from here? We'll put those questions to economist Dennis Gartman. That's straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Bye. And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in the yuan are advancing after President Joe Biden said China tariffs imposed by the Trump administration were under consideration. The dollar and treasuries are retreating. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 18 points. Dow futures up 114. NASDAQ futures up 52. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year treasury down 9/32, yield 2.81%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or $1.01 at $111.32 a barrel. COMEX gold is up more than 1% or $19.60 at $18.68 an ounce. The euro 1.0677 against the dollar. British pound 1.2587. And the yen is at 127.46. Bitcoin is higher, up 1.3% at $30,300. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden said the U.S. military would intervene to defend Taiwan in any attack from China. In Tokyo, Biden says such a move would dislocate the entire region and be an action similar to what Russia has done in Ukraine. A military plane carrying enough specialty infant formula for more than a half a million baby bottles arrived yesterday in Indianapolis. It is the first of several flights expected from Europe aimed at relieving a formula shortage. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers beat the Hurricanes 3-1. Carolina still leads that series 2-1. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors beat the Mavericks 109-100 to lead the Western Conference Finals 3-0. Baseball, the Yankees lost a doubleheader to the White Sox. The Mets, Red Sox, Orioles, and Nationals won. The Giants and A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 520 on Wall Street. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, stocks on Friday avoided the official bear market label, at least the S&P 500. But what is next? Let's get you set up for the trading day ahead with economist Dennis Garpin, chair of the University of Akron's endowment. Dennis, always a pleasure. Happy Monday. Are we rebalancing back to pre-pandemic levels, or is something else going on?
John, I think it's actually been a bear market for quite some period of time. I find it amusing that everybody wants to think that you don't enter a bear market till you're down 20%. I've always gone under the auspice of the notion that anything under 7% is bear market territory, and you have to be more defensive once we take things down 7%. 20% is pretty far down before you start to become bearish. I think the bear market started January 5th, and as the chairman of the University of Akron's endowment, I pushed us hard and actually got us to move 12% of our portfolio out on December 31st last year, going to the sidelines and owning 2-year and 4-year and 5-year treasury securities instead. And as I like to say, in a bear market, he or she who loses the least is the winner. And we've saved, almost 20% in the S&P, almost 29% in the NASDAQ 100. So we've saved, 17 to 20%. On 12% of the portfolio, we're doing a lot better than other people are. So I think you have to understand that this is a bear market. The Fed is taking away the fuel that had sponsored the bull market for such a long period of time. As the Fed added to its balance sheet, the Fed is now beginning to subtract from its balance sheet. It's going to take years before it gets the balance sheet back to something more amenable. We've taken the balance sheet from, $900 billion to $9 trillion in the course of a decade. Taking away $95 billion a month for the next several years is going to weaken the stock market for a protracted period of time. So I think it's a bear market, and I think people have to understand that fact, and I think people need to adjust their trading perspectives and adjust their investment perspectives accordingly.
Well, when does dip buy become a viable strategy?
Not for a long period of time into the future. I think rally selling is the viable strategy. Buying the dip was a nice strategy for almost a decade, but I think that that's behind us now. I think buying the dip is an ill-advised decision. I think selling rallies is the advised decision, and I think that that's going to maintain for a long period of time. We've had a good solid bounce from Friday's low until in the futures market until the highs made last night. I think that those highs made last night may be taken out when we open for trading in reality at 9:30 this morning. But I think that what we need to understand is the rallies have been on limited volume, they've been on aggressive volume, And that's, I think that's a hallmark of a bear market. So I think selling rallies is the proper course of action. Buying dips was the proper course of action. It is no longer the proper course of action.
You mentioned treasuries. Is cash a better alternative at this point?
When stocks are down 20%, cash is not a bad place to be. And as I said, at the University of Akron, we've gone to two-year, three-year, four-year, five-year treasury notes, which I consider to be essentially cash, cash holding. Cash is a great place to be. In my own portfolio, I've got about 25% cash, and the only major positions I have are in gold and crude oil and commodities. I've had a nice period of time here for myself for the last several weeks, and I'm going to continue. So cash is, I think, a proper course of action, or at least a good course of action, where for the past decade it hasn't been. Now it is.
I would imagine growth is really, really off the table for you then at this point.
Growth has been off the table. Growth will remain off the table. And growth is probably not going to be on the table for at least another 6 months, maybe a year or more. The damage that has been wrought in the growth portfolios of the country by in individual accounts has been extraordinary, and I think that damage is going to get worse, not better. So, again, I think buying the dip is not the course of action. Selling the rally is the proper course of action. Getting less long is the proper way to be. I hate to say that. Much more fun having bull markets. The women are prettier. The clothing is nicer. The music is pleasant. The dance is lovely. And in bear markets, the music becomes atonal, and people become ugly and nasty. And I'd much prefer a bull market, and I hate to be bearish, but I think that's the proper course.
Never nasty or ugly, Dennis Gartman. Dennis, you're actually going to come back, if you would, in the next half hour to continue our conversation. Maybe we'll pick up commodities at that point. Economist Dennis Gartman, appreciate that. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street right now, futures in the green, the Dow futures up 137 points. That's a rise of 0.4%. The S&P 500 futures up 21 points, a rise of 0.5%. And the Nasdaq futures right now, 59 points higher. That is up 0.5%. Dennis mentioned treasuries. The benchmark 10-year yield, 281, up 3 basis points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And a Bloomberg weather from Rob Carolyn. Partly sunny, cooler today, and a lot less humid. The high temperature topping out at about 75. Cloudy tonight, lows 55 to 60 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, SiriusXM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. With futures higher amid expectations, traders will help lift the S&P 500 after it touched bear market territory Friday. Despite talks of a U.S. recession, Credit Suisse CEO Thomas Gottstein said he doesn't see one happening.
People are somewhat insecure. They are in risk-off mode. But our house view still is that there won't be a recession, neither this year nor next year. There will be a slowdown.
Credit Suisse CEO Thomas Gottstein was speaking in Davos with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. The annual Davos World Economic Forum is back this year. Tune into Bloomberg Television and Radio for full coverage this week.
And Karen, stocks also jumped this morning after President Biden indicated China tariffs imposed by the Trump administration are under consideration. Speaking in Tokyo, the president said he believes the U.S. will avoid a recession. He also declared the U.S. would defend Taiwan should China attack.
My expectation is it will not happen. It will not be attempted. My expectation is a lot of it depends upon just how strongly the world makes clear that that kind of action is going to result in long-term disapprobation by the rest of the community.
President Biden also announced that a dozen Indo-Pacific countries will join the U.S. in an economic initiative designed to counter China's influence in the region.
Well, before boarding Air Force One in South Korea yesterday, John, the president addressed the growing monkeypox outbreak.
Well, they haven't told me the level of exposure yet, but it is something that everybody should be concerned about. We're working on it hard to figure out what we do.
President Biden said he spoke to advisors about the monkeypox virus.
And while the U.S. monitors monkeypox, it's getting relief on the battle against the baby formula shortage. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, John. A plane load of more than 70,000 pounds of baby formula arrived in the U.S. Sunday. It's called Operation Fly Formula, an emergency program to alleviate a national shortage that's left some parents scrambling to feed their children. President Biden's top economic advisor says more formula will arrive in stores as early as this week. Last week, the president invoked emergency powers to spur domestic manufacturing of baby formula. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Turning back to equity, shares of VMware up 19% in early trading. The cloud computing company is in talks to be bought by Broadcom. Again, futures are moving higher, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. And time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you, sir. The search is on for a gunman who shot a man on a subway train in Manhattan Sunday morning. The suspect fled. The 48-year-old victim died later at a hospital. NYPD Chief of Department Kenneth Corey says the victim was shot in the chest.
According to witnesses, the suspect was walking back and forth in the same train car and without provocation pulled out a gun and fired it at the victim at close range.
NYPD Chief of Department Kenneth Corey says there was apparently no prior contact between the victim and the suspect. Meanwhile, the chief executive of Goldman Sachs says the 48-year-old man shot and killed was an employee of the firm. David Solomon says Daniel Enriquez was a beloved member of the company for 9 years. Solomon says the firm was devastated by this senseless tragedy, and our deepest sympathies are with Dan's family at this difficult time. Russia is intensifying its attacks in eastern Ukraine as President Volodymyr Zelensky calls for even more powerful weapons to counter the Russian invasion. Zelensky says between 50 to 100 Ukrainian soldiers die every day on the battlefield. Meanwhile, the threat of possible nuclear attacks continues from President Putin. Former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mike Mullen, says while he doesn't believe Putin will actually use nuclear weapons, it's a possible action they have to consider.
It's very difficult to know what Putin is thinking at any particular time. He's obviously spoken to this. I think we need to make sure that we consider it.
Former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mullen, spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Mask requirements and advisories are back in cities with a rise in COVID-19 cases. Philadelphia is one of them. Starting today, face coverings there will be mandatory indoors and on school buses. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. The Rangers desperately needed a win yesterday to avoid falling down 3-0 against the Hurricanes. Igor Shesterkin was up for the task, stopping 43 shots as the Blue Shirts defeated the Canes 3-1. Game 4 at the Garden tomorrow night. Elsewhere, the Lightning take a 3-0 lead over the Panthers with a 5-1 win. Edmonton goes up 2-1 over the Flames with a 4-1 victory. Baseball, Aroldis Chapman surrendered a tie-breaking home run to A.J. Pollock in the top of the ninth inning as the Yankees dropped Game 1 of a doubleheader to the White Sox 3-1. They would also lose Game 2, being shut out 5-0, despite Luis Severino going 7 scoreless innings. The Yankees losing 2 straight for just the second time this season. The Mets, meanwhile, blanked the Rockies 2-0. Taiwan Walker throwing 7 scoreless innings. NBA playoffs, the Warriors take a 3-0 series lead over the Mavericks with a 109-100 win in Dallas. Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight in Boston. Miami leads 2-1. Golf, what an exciting finish at the PGA Championship yesterday.
And Justin Thomas is walking around for the quick tap, and he's got it. A 2-time major winner of the PGA Championship, Justin Thomas, is your 104th PGA champion here at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
The call is heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. Justin Thomas winning his second Wanamaker Trophy, outlasting Will Zalatoris in a three-hole playoff. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports.
All right, thanks, Scott. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Curry.
Supply chain snarls and labor shortages threaten to impede the rebound in Manhattan's retail market. Some tenants have delayed opening spaces because of challenges in obtaining equipment and staff. Others had to wait for inspections and permits, according to the Real Estate Board of New York. You know, New Jersey could be the cheapest state in the country to own an EV. The head of a report from Energy Innovation Policy and Technology says the state offers a $5,000 rebate when you buy or lease an EV. There's no purchase tax on those vehicles, and there are other offers that make owning electric vehicles more affordable. A two-month initiative to promote cultural programs in Ridgefield, Westport, and Wilton, Connecticut attracted more than 100 people to theaters, restaurants, and businesses in the three towns. This is according to a new survey following the inaugural culture crawl. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about how a lot of stock market participants expect still more pay yet to come this year.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. American car shoppers are least likely to buy an electric vehicle compared to overseas.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that many states, including Minnesota, have unemployment rates well below 3.6%, the national average.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on the new economic pact for the Asia-Pacific announced by President Joe Biden while visiting Japan.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Cedar Point has unveiled new hotel properties and new dining options.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It is 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
By threatening to block the enlargement of NATO to include Finland and Sweden, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has revived doubts about Turkey's reliability as a member of the alliance. U.S. and European leaders should make clear that Erdogan's behavior undermines NATO's collective security and should be willing to impose consequences if it continues. After all, this isn't the first time Erdogan has threatened to disrupt NATO's broad plans unless Turkey's narrow interests are served. NATO can't afford to subject itself to repeated brinksmanship. Until Erdogan changes his behavior, Turkish participation in NATO planning and exercises should be reduced to the bare minimum. And if mild rebukes fail, harsher punishments should be considered. NATO's message should be simple. The security of the group must not be held hostage by one repeat offender. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion Editorial is going to be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Right now, Dow futures up 205 points, S&P futures up 30. And the Bloomberg weather for today becoming partly sunny, cooler, less humid, the high temperature in the mid-70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low temperatures 55 to 60 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in the yuan advancing after President Joe Biden said China tariffs imposed by the Trump administration were under consideration. The dollar and treasuries are retreating. U.S. stock index futures are rising amid expectations. Bargain hunters will help pull the S&P 500 back from bear market levels. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up about 27 points. Dow futures up 184. NASDAQ futures up 72. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. FTSE 100 up 0.9%, and the CAC in Paris little change. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32, yield 2.82%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil up 1%, up $1.13 at $111.41 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.1%, or $20.90 at $1,869.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0682 against the dollar, British pound 1.2577, and the yen at 127.55. Bitcoin is moving higher, up 1.5% at $30,350. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden says the U.S. would intervene militarily if China were to invade Taiwan. Speaking in Tokyo, President Biden says such a move would dislocate the entire region. China has reacted to the comments angering Beijing. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson said, "Don't underestimate the resolve for China to protect its territorial integrity. It considers Taiwan a breakaway province." A C-17 military cargo plane carrying about 78,000 pounds of specialized baby formula from overseas landed in Indiana yesterday to help ease the shortage. Government officials say this shipment has enough product to make 500,000 8-ounce bottles of formula. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers beat the Hurricanes 3-1. Carolina still leads the series 2 games to 1. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors beat the Mavericks 109-100 to lead the Western Conference Finals 3 games to 0. Baseball, the Yankees lost a doubleheader. The Mets, Red Sox, Orioles, and Nationals won. The Giants and A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Let's continue our markets coverage this morning. Bring back our guest, economist Dennis Gartman, chair of the University of Akron Endowment, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, for those that didn't catch the first part of our conversation, can you just reiterate your stance that we are firmly in the grip of a bear market?
There's no question in my mind that we are firmly in the grip of a bear market. I find it amusing, John, that people want to think that we don't enter a bear market till we're down 20%. To my mind, anytime we're down more than 7%, you should at least be respectful of it. And I think anything under more than 10% is a bear market. 20% is a comical threshold number to be concerned about. I think we're in a bear market. I think we began the bear market January 5th of this year. Bear markets begin at the peak stock market activity, and January 5th was the peak. I think we're in a bear market that may last for quite some period of time as the Fed takes away the fuel that has sponsored the bull market for the past several years. The fact that the Fed has taken its balance sheet from $900 billion almost a decade ago to $9 trillion as of a couple weeks ago, that has been the fuel that sponsored the bull market. The Fed is now going to take away $95 billion a month, actually beginning in 2 months. They're going to take $65 billion for the next 2 months, and then after that, $95 billion out of the balance sheet for the course of the next several years. The fuel that has sponsored the bull market is being taken away, and you have to be careful. So as I like to say, in a bear market, one who loses is the winner. As the chairman of the University of Akron's endowment, I got us to move almost 12% of our portfolio out December 31st of last year. We're still going to be down for the year thus far, but we're going to be down a lot less than everybody else is simply because we're losing less. We moved to the sidelines, bought 2-year, 3-year, 4-year, 5-year Treasury security instead, and I think we've done a good job of mitigating the losses that other people are having to experience. So I think this bear market lasts for a period of time, probably at least several more months, maybe even a year or more, and you have to be careful. So I say that this is not the time to buy weakness. This is the time to sell into rallies.
There was hope that the bargain hunters will step in, at least for the S&P 500, where the P.E. overall is somewhere around 19. Is that a bargain?
Not yet. P.E. is when they get to 14 or 15 may well be a bargain. P.E.s at 19 are, I think, normal, not terribly cheap by any historic tendency. The fact that we got over, 25 price-to-earnings multiple 6 months ago, To me, that was extremely high. So, again, sell into strength is the proper course of action. Buying weakness is not the proper course of action, and I hope that I'm clear.
We contracted last quarter. What is your betting in terms of recession at this point?
I think that we're going to have, as we know, the first quarter was down, 1.4% GDP. We're probably going to have a slight positive second quarter GDP, but I think by the third quarter we'll have negative GDP again. It won't be material, maybe reflective of what happened in the first quarter. The definition of a recession is two consecutive quarters of GDP growth. That's not going to happen for quite some period of time yet, simply because the second quarter numbers will be slightly positive. But I think we'll be in a reasonably evident recession by the third quarter of this year, lasting until the early part of next year. It will not be as ugly as we went through in 2020. It will not be as ugly as we went through in 1972 to 74. It will not be as ugly as we went through in the 1980s. But nonetheless, it's going to be negative GDP growth. And the unemployment rate will probably start ticking back up above 4%, maybe get back to a more manageable 5% by the course of the mid-year next year.
Well, you brought up the 70s. I'm looking at the Personal Consumption Expenditure Core Price Index. At this point, nowhere near replicating the 1970s. Does that offer solace?
There is marginal solace to be gained by that. You and I, we've been around for a long period of time. I can remember when the...
Watch it, Dennis.
I remember when the 30-year bond had a 14.25% coupon, and you couldn't give it away in the early 1980s. That was what the result of the inflation of the 1970s still being linked about. Are we going to have inflation of about 5 and 6% for a protected period of time? Yes. Are we going to have inflation numbers that were evident back in the 1970s and early 80s? No, we're not going to go back there again.
All right. Broad commodities, they've been in a rally. Is that going to persist?
Yeah. Probably for some period of time. The grain markets, I think, are still extremely strong. Corn looks like it's going to go a lot higher. Wheat looks like it wants to go a lot higher. The only commodity that I'm really not terribly bullish of is the soybeans, simply because we've delayed the planting of the corn market rather dramatically because of the ill weather that has persisted across the Midwest. And at the margin, the last percent of acreage that didn't get into corn may go into beans. So the only commodity that I'm really not terribly bullish of is soybeans. I'm still bullish of the grain of crude oil. Always remember that markets liquidated, where the front months are gaining upon the back months on up days and down days, is a bull market. And the front month is now trading over $2.50 premium to the second future back. That the market in crude oil continues to be backwardated, and backwardated markets go higher, not lower.
Yeah, you've always told us to look for the term structure and the indications that offers right now.
Yes. It continues to be quite bullish. The term structure continues to be inverted in crude oil. As long as the term structure remains inverted, you cannot be short. You have to be long if you're going to trade crude oil at all. So it wants to go higher, and I'm still long. The only positions that I have in my own retirement account, I'm long of gold and I'm long of crude oil purveyor stocks that pay large dividends, Exxon, that sort of thing. I've been very fortunate. The market's moving from the lower left to the upper right in that instance, and I'm going to continue to hold them.
Commodities are settled in dollars. So what's the dynamic as the dollar strengthens?
It makes commodity prices for foreign countries a lot more expensive, and it's going to make that it's supportive of crude of commodity prices generally. So be careful. If you're a third world country, if you're a developing nation, you've got a real problem because you've got rising commodity prices and a rising dollar. You're getting hurt in both directions.
And gold, I know you're not a gold bug, but how is gold acting as a hedge right now or beyond?
It's acting quite well, to be quite honest. I think the fact that we're trading above 1850 is very impressive. The fact that it's doing so, even as the bond market wants to try to make some lows, the bond market wants to try to go a little bit higher. Rates want to come down just a tad. And it's impressive that the gold market is holding its rally and doing reasonably well. So, again, at the University of Akron, I moved us out of a year ago, almost February of last. Well, actually, it's over a year, 14 months ago. I moved 3% of the portfolio out of stocks into 3% into gold. And I'm trying to convince my compatriots to buy a little bit more gold because it's been working. So I think of all the hedges that you want to have on in place of the inflationary circumstances that prevail, you want to own the gold market. You want to avoid, if at all possible, cryptocurrencies.
Okay. Well, we heard from Christine Lagarde saying, in essence, it's garbage. So you're in good company on that front. Economist Dennis Gartman, chair of the University of Akron Endowment and former publisher of the Gartman Letter. As always, a pleasure, Dennis. Appreciate it. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, in the green, the Dow futures right now, up 146 points. That's a rise of 0.5%. S&P E-mini futures, they're up 20. They're up 0.5%. And the NASDAQ futures right now, up 45 points of 0.4%. 10-year yield at 282. That's up 4 basis points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.